This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, hello there, buddy. Hello. It's raining, there's cats and dogs and snow.
Yeah. It only did it for 30 seconds and quit, and then I walked in.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Ah, nice, nice. What do you think about that compliment we received the other day?
Which one was that?
The one I was telling you I picked up my granddaughter at the high school yesterday, and you have to show your ID these days.
Show your ID to get to high school, huh?
Yeah. She asked me, are you the guy on the radio? And Yeah.
See, even the Roseburg High people listen to our show.
Yeah.
So, just catch up with them and you'll be in good shape.
Thank you, ma'am, for the nice compliment.
Amen. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for listening. And this is a show that will hopefully help somebody out there or several somebodies on doing constructive work in their yard, making their yard beautiful, making their landscapes beautiful. Because when you got a beautiful landscape, you like to sit in the yard and enjoy it. And it's good for your psyche. How's that? So thank you for
listening.
That's
a big word for you.
I know. I don't even know how to spell it either.
P-H-C-S-I-K.
Something like that. But you can, if you have a question about landscaping or planting something or, whatever, lawns, sprinklers, whatever, you can call 673-4464, ask your question, and I will give you an answer. And 99% of the time is going to be absolutely correct, so don't sweat the program. But the rain is a blessing. I love it. I have loved it every day. I love working my windshield wipers back and forth. even though it doesn't pour, it's still rain.
And you don't have to wash your windshield.
No, not a bit. And then my creek is finally showing signs of life with water. All right, we're going to make it. We'll get here. Okay. But after, the previous 3 years of below average rainfall,
alleged.
At least that. And we're getting what we need finally. But we could use one good significant storm to get it ripping and going and flooded.
Yeah.
Not flooding, but, saturated. How's that?
That's better.
And now, like I say, if this will continue until April of next year, it's going to bring up the soil moisture levels to almost normal, possibly. It just depends on how much precipitation we actually get. So, at any rate, call 673-4464 with any questions.
Please do.
Please do. I like talking to people, okay? And I like solving your problems.
He gets tired of talking to me.
Yeah, really. He talks way too much in the breaks, I'll tell you what. But we have seen natural vegetation take a serious hit in these dry years. And, from fir trees, and I haven't seen too many oaks dying from a drought, but the fir trees... not the pines, but basically fir and a few other types of trees out there really taking a hit because of the lack of rain. In the last 3, maybe 4 years was below average every year. And when you don't replenish the groundwater down into those root systems, those trees got to struggle. They hang on as much as they can, and then bingo, one of these days it's like, there's no water left in the soil. What's we going to do?
We don't like this.
No. But like I say, if this stuff continues till, April of next year, it's going to bring things up almost to normal maybe. But we'll have to have a few years of more normal rainfall to make up for the deficit long
like
term.
We used to.
Yeah, back when we used to have 40 inches of rain in a year, for crying out loud.
In the 70s,
Instead of 17,
Extreme drought.
Extreme drought. How about extreme wet? Well, let's do that.
There you go.
But anyway, a lot of the stuff is, going into dormancy early, like I've said for the last 2 or 3 weeks, watching a lot of the maples and other deciduous trees, watching the leaves turn in August, for crying out loud. Now it's September, obviously. So we'll begin the more normal dormancy procedure as we go through September and get into October. But a lot of the trees, I don't know, 20%, at least 20% of the trees I see on hillsides up my place, on hillsides The maples turning yellow and dropping leaves, and some of the oaks kind of got their brownish yellow tint to them with a little red. And yeah, it's like, come on, guys, this is too this is too quick. I hope you have a good rest, okay?
Yeah.
But you know, it's I like to see the river is up. It looks good. It's much better than it was a month ago, for crying out loud. You know, a month ago you could count all the individual rocks as you went over the bridges, and especially on the South Umpqua. Gosh, man, and, you know, look at all the rocks. Where'd they all come from?
You
they used to be covered in water, and you couldn't see them. That's why they've always been there, for goodness sakes. But anyway, it's we're headed in the right direction. And like I said, this morning, the little creek next to my house has risen a few inches, and it's kind of filled all the potholes in the low areas. And you can barely see it running on the surface, but each day that we have a little bit more rain, it's picking up momentum and speed and
nice
volume. And I'm going, oh, come on, baby, we got to have this.
Keep rolling.
Keep going. But... and I noticed, like I said, the South Umpqua River, and because I go from Winston this way, so I see a lot of the South Umpqua. It's up, and I hope it continues. So I hereby declare you can turn your sprinkler systems off. You know, and don't bother anymore. You know, let it go. And I would not hesitate to plant new plants now because it's cooler. I doubt that we're going to have any 90-degree days or even 80s. Hopefully it'll stay in the mid-70s to low 70s. And wasn't there a forecast here for this next week? There was going to be some days in the 60s as a high?
Let me see.
That would be good because that helps the tree and shrub. Native tree and shrub survival.
Yeah, mid-60s to upper 60s.
Yeah, well, that's good. I don't have a problem with that. In fact, I look forward to that. So
tomorrow may be near 70.
Ah, okay. But when you're planting new plants this fall, and it's a great time to do that, and you may have to water them maybe when you plant them, just you know, just to settle the soil and get those roots damp, and then just kind of forget it. It'll be okay. And this will also be a good time to fertilize those lawns, the shrubs and trees, and let the rain do the job. And that's the way that goes. And by the way, before I forget, you know, I sold the nursery last November. And I've been breaking in the new owner and trying to help her, you know, get things rolling. And it's been good process all the way. And she's going to have a big tree sale, fall sale, plant sale here. I think it's October 2nd to the 7th.
Oh, right, next week.
Yeah, next week. And so it will be 50% off on all plants. And like we used to have in the... when it was Wintergreen and Michael and Marianne Winters were running it, we always had a good turnout. There was people going, "Oh man!
Oh yeah!
A perfect time!
Bet.
You know, it's cool. Most of the shrubs and trees are, like I said, going in dormancy, so there's not a great amount of shock to the root systems unless you throw them out in the road and you run over the roots or something like that. But if you plant it halfway...
they may survive even that.
Yeah, they will. Some of them will. I'm sure cactus will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Rose,
but,
bush.
Yeah. But it's a good time to get started on planting and adding to your landscape or throwing in some fruit trees that you've been wanting to have, but it's been so stinking hot forever, it seems. And but this weather is great in that it's really helping the folks fight in the fires, and it's also clearing the air of the smoke. I think it was last week. It was so stinking smoky when I left here.
Yeah.
I thought, what's going on? Excuse me.
That was kind of a surprise that nobody even predicted that. But I guess how can you, you know, I don't know.
It was kind of after the first rain, so I think what it did, it knocked down some of the flames, and then the stuff smoldered.
And
it just kept smoldering, and then the wind picked up, and the next thing I know, gosh, it's like, it's almost like a fog, you know, a brown fog. You know, like geez, Louise, stop it.
Like putting out a campfire.
Yeah, it is. And, but you know, the more rain we get, the less fire danger we have, and you can get the get those guys. They, you know, when they work on those fires, it's tough work.
Oh, I don't know how they do it.
I've done it when I was 18, and it really saps your energy because you're out there for many hours.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
And it's very, very hot.
Sometimes they even sleep out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
You know, you can't let it go. But, like I say,
I bet they got great view of the fire at night, though.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
if that's what you like.
Break out the hot dogs, okay.
Oh, my, yeah.
Well, and like I say, the weather's really going to help these guys, and that's what we need to have. And just clear this fire stuff and the smoke up and get
blow it out of here.
Blow it out of here. Blow it over to L.A.
China.
Yeah, China would be good, but L.A., China, it's, you know, what's the difference? So our vegetable garden is still producing food for us. It's amazing. With this nice fall that we've had, we've got so many tomatoes. I have tomatoes every night for dinner.
Still?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Another thing is we only got like three tomato plants.
And you haven't brought me any.
I'm sorry.
You keep promising. But
well, I keep forgetting.
I know. I know.
It's not that I don't want to share my produce with you. It's just that I don't remember.
You're forgiven.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I might surprise you and just buy some at Safeway and
bring them in here. I'd know the difference.
So. You probably would. No, my wife planted the smaller tomatoes, you know, the size.
The cherry or whatever.
Not the cherry, but the next size up, but like golf ball size.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, okay. But what she did, it's amazing. She had some potatoes, a row of potatoes, and she dug up a couple, a week or two ago. And they were huge. They were bigger than softballs. They were like 6 inches long and 6 inches wide and round. And I couldn't believe how big they were. And they had to weigh a pound and a half, for crying out loud.
Man,
I don't know what got into them.
Good bakers,
I guess. And you could feed a family of six on one potato. So
call the neighbors.
And, of course, the zucchinis are always doing good. They bubbies, all those guys.
Oh, you love those.
With onions and some garlic salt on them, they taste pretty good.
And when in doubt, ketchup.
Yeah, ketchup. I don't know. I'm not that ketchup-y. But, anyway, the gardens are still producing, and not just mine, but wherever I look, you know, there's folks that I can see some, as you drive by through some of these neighborhoods, you can see some gardens and stuff, and they're still bearing,
yep.
You know. So it's been a great year for vegetable, homegrown vegetable production, you know. And I don't know about the fruit stands. Well, I live down Winston area, so
right.
If I go, I'll go by Brosai. And he's got so much stuff, it's amazing. It's like you got a 15 cars in this little teeny parking lot at any one time. And
people he's probably done with the corn, isn't he?
My wife bought some last week.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was pretty tasty, you know. Good corn. I love corn on the cob. You know, corn that's, you know, out of a can, it's okay, I guess. But, you know, good fresh corn on the cob.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man, you just can't beat it. When I was in Hawaii, in my last year in the Marine Corps, I was stationed in Hawaii, and there was, you know, festivals and events, different ones, and you'd go to them, and they would have corn on the cob on a stick, and they would, you'd just pick it up like a popsicle, and it was just dripping in salt and butter and everything else. And it was great, man. It was hot right out of the, you know, this big kettle. And
right
then,
out of the pit.
And they dip it in this vat of butter and all the, it was good.
I'm going home now.
Okay, bye.
We'll be right back. What's your phone number?
Oh, 673-4464 if you got a question.
On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Oh, all right, we're back.
We're back, and if you have a question, 673-4464, and I'm talking about vegetables and vegetable season, and, you know, we could actually have another month of produce coming to us. Depends on, you know, the rain doesn't hurt it so much as if the temperature dropped 20 degrees one night, that would probably stop the whole food
cycle.
Wagon right there. Yeah. But as long as we, you know, our nights are, what are they getting down to, about 45?
45, 50.
Yeah. I mean, they don't care. They just say, well, they'll throw some 10 more tomatoes out there on that plant. Okay, Bob. Go out there the next day and there's 10 more tomatoes. Whew, I'm tired of tomatoes. soon as my garden dies, I'm not buying or eating another tomato for months. Just because.
No more BLTs.
No more BLTs now. But the fall season is a great time for buying shrubs and trees because a lot of nurseries are having sales and Wintergreen is having their annual sale. And, you know, it's a good time. It's cool. Your way of your survival rate on anything you plant is so much greater in the fall than it is in the spring and the summer. In the spring, you get this false sense that, oh boy, they need a lot of water, and so a lot of folks overwater and kill their plants, or some ignore them totally and they die of drought. But in the fall, you know, like now, you give them one water and they're good till about May. They don't need another drop and you don't have to worry about it. And by that time, they're fully rooted out and they're growing. They're doing well. They're acclimated. So fall is probably, when you consider all the factors involved, fall is probably the best time to go ahead and plant plants, shrubs, trees, those kinds of things. Mm. And so you ought to take advantage of the current situation. How's that? Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, because a lot of these nurseries, when they put stuff on sale, they want to clear out their inventory to make room for next year's plants, because there's always, you know, you do future orders about from different companies that grow, specific items that you want for next spring, and they're not ready right now, but right. At least your order's in, and so you start getting them in, say, February and March, especially like geraniums and petunias and, you know, those kinds of things. But you got to have room to put them in, and if you don't clear out some of your stock, you don't have a place to.
You're up a creek, so to speak.
Yeah. So that's the deal here. Clear out the inventory and let people have a good deal all at the same time, and that's good. And even you know, even if some of the plants, you're looking at plants, and even if some of them look tired, they're still alive and they'll come back strong next spring, because we've had a hard, hard summer. I mean, day after day of 90 plus degrees. And
yeah.
Sometimes no matter how much you water, the leaves are getting burnt simply because they're in the sun and sitting on hot ground, because the ground does heat up but the minute you get them in the ground where it's cooler, you know, down 8-10 inches, those root systems they thrive on that. it's not a detriment to the plant, but you still may get some brown leaves, but they recuperate very quickly. And you know, plants are tough. I mean, they really are tough. And
that's what my Easter lily is doing.
Your Easter lily blooming?
Not blooming.
Oh.
But it's greener and healthier looking than it ever has been.
Yeah, right. There you go. You haven't got rid of the dragon plant yet, huh?
No. I've been pushing it out of the Easter lily's way because it wants to go in there and
Can't you just pull the roots out?
Of your China vine?
Yeah.
I've tried that. It didn't work.
Why?
Comes right back.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably because you left one little piece of root or something down there, and it's so vigorous. It says, yeah, watch this, buddy.
It loves it.
You can't get rid of me.
Wonder who I can call in China to come and get it.
Yeah. Oh gosh. And on some of your shrubs that are larger, and even if you're in the trees, if you have a question as to is that alive or dead or whatever, because the leaves look so bad and the plant looks bad, you know, just take your fingernail or a knife and scratch the main stem with your fingernail and peel back a little bit of bark. And if the stem inside the bark is green under the bark, then the plant is good and it's going to live. It's going to make it. But if you scratch the bark and it's brown underneath,
that's not good.
Then you try a couple more little tests on different stems. Yeah. And if it's all brown, you know that plant's it's history. It's toast. You can go ahead and pull it out and get it ready for a new guy. But any green on that stem, it's going to come back, even though the leaves look like death warmed over. I mean, it doesn't matter. They've gone into dormancy. They got the root system going. The stem is green. Hey, next spring it's going to be good. So
that reminds me of our political leader.
We're not going to. This is a plant show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is supposed to be an upbeat show.
Okay.
Yeah. And when you're planting new things, and I repeat a lot of this because there's people that maybe hear it, but they don't do it.
Do
or
it.
There's new people coming on saying, oh, yeah, what's he saying here? But when you're planting, you want to make sure you break up the root ball a little bit. In other words, when you pull a plant out of a pot, the root system and everything is the same shape as the pot, and they're compressed. Mm. So you take your fingernail or maybe a knife or a stick or something and just go all the way around the root and loosen it up so the roots are kind of sticking out, and do the same thing on the bottom of the plant. Mm-hmm. Then you plant it, and then you're good to go. If you don't break up the roots, it will struggle a little bit. And I'm not saying to totally just destroy the root system, just a little bit of scratching and rough it up a little bit. That's all it needs.
Wake it up,
yeah. Because when you're in a pot for 2 years, you know, your roots just don't go anywhere except in circles. Yeah. But by, like I say, next April, May, you know, the roots will be already in place, growing, and that plant won't miss a beat for the rest of the year. So now, If you don't want to plant the shrubs yet, then at least repot them into a larger pot so they can grow well for another year. Let's say you say, I don't want to go do that. I got to get this done before I go ahead and plant plants. Well, let's say you get a plant in a 1 gallon container, which is just the smallest container for shrubs. And but you've got some old pots sitting around there. Go ahead and take them out of the small container, put them in the big container where they have room to continue to grow, and then overwinter them that way. And then next spring you can go ahead and plant them.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, no sense in spending several hundred dollars buying a whole bunch of plants, even if they're on sale, and losing 50% of them because they're root bound or something else is wrong with them. So you want to make it's an insurance policy, okay?
It's kind of like kids. They've outgrown their clothes.
Yeah, you got to buy them some new shoes. Well, but, you know, maybe your landscape plan isn't done, but you can still take advantage of those fall plant sales, just like I say, by keeping, you know, put all the plants that you buy, put them in one spot so you can water them easily, and until you get to the point where you're ready to plant. So that way you still can take advantage of any of the sales, and it's good to go after that. And when you're repotting these, like I just said, don't just use soil. It's too heavy. Get a good potting mix, and the new roots won't have to struggle to get started. And just keep them damp and keep them in the weather. Don't put them under the patio cover or in the garage or something like that. And you might lightly fertilize with, a liquid fertilizer just to kind of take away some of the shock. And, you know, you're still planning your landscape. You're still saying, well, what do I want to do? And if even if the plants are in pots, you could kind of stick them around in the yard and sit back and take a look at them and say, yeah, I like that. Or they're too close together, or they're too far apart, or, you know, maybe I'm going to mix them up a little bit. And then when you've kind of decided what you want to do, just go ahead and store the potted plants over to the side of the yard and wait till spring to plant them. So yeah. That's good.
No harm in that.
No, it's good for them. So, like I say, if the new pots are large enough, the plants will live well. At least they can live well for two more years in bigger pots. So, just don't be afraid to manipulate. It's okay. They'll work. And as you look at your yard, there may be part of it that's sloped. Maybe not, you know, straight up and down slope, but, you know, a slope that you can't put a lawn on because it's too steep, and maybe it's hard to get to. You might consider a retaining wall or maybe a trail system for easier access up that slope to access the landscape or access the planting area, or even that trail can turn into part of the design of the landscape as well. Trails and landscapes, if you got a yard that's large enough, they look good. And there's a there's a little hard labor if you're doing the work, but there are landscapers around that can do the heavy lifting for you. Like if you got a lot of soil and it's mostly clay and kind of junk soil or rock or whatever, you can hire a couple of guys for a day, and they can kind of rough out the trail, and then you can finish it after they've done all the heavy-duty stuff. And, say, well, this is what I want, this is how I want to do it. And you can do the same thing with a retaining wall. So you're going to have a retaining wall, you got a slope that comes down into your backyard or even in your front yard, and you want to put a retaining wall in there. Well, you've got to... The best way to do it is cut the toe of that slope up a couple of feet, and then make a flat place for your block wall or rock wall or whatever you're going to put in there, and go. You got your hand on the trigger there.
Yeah, we got a break coming
okay.
up.
Okay. Well, let's take a break then.
Before we do that, remember the guy that's been missing, Michael Paul Schultz.
I've heard the name.
He's been found. He's safe and is no longer considered missing, according to the authorities. So there we go. More details coming up on the afternoon report right here on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. And the phone number, Mike?
673-4464. Any questions, fair game. Don't hesitate.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, we're back. A leaping sheep.
Oh, boy. Well, I've changed horses here, and we're talking about slopes and retaining walls and maybe little trail systems going through there. But I've got kind of a short list of ideas that you need to be aware of to do the job to last and be solid. And if you're thinking of a trail, like I say, on a slope or even through a flat yard, study the terrain and envision the final product before you even start. In other words, sit in the backyard a couple of days or whatever it takes and just look at all aspects, and especially if it's a slope, and you want to plant the slope or you want to do something with the slope, but you want access to the slope, and the access is a nice switchback trail going up through it that's not very steep, that you can actually walk up and carry plants and walk up and carry soil, et cetera. Mm-hmm. it adds another dimension to the landscape. Mm-hmm. It looks good, and it accentuates the plantings as well. So, like I say, sit down, watch it, look at it, and, mm-hmm. I mean, and just envision, get a picture in your mind of what that thing's going to look like when you get done, and that way you will be more successful than if you just went up there haphazardly and started digging stuff,
Yeah, Dad, did you hear that?
Yeah, but trails need to be walkable, not steep. They need to. you know, if you have the room, you want to push a wheelbarrow up it. You definitely you don't want it real steep because
that's
where you're asking for a whole lot of trouble. And but at least it needs to be wide enough to walk on without hazards, like the hazard of carrying something up and then making your next step, but it's not on the trail, it's on the downhill side of the trail, and then you roll down to bottom of the rail and sprain your arm or
Where'd
something.
Where'd this embankment come from?
Yeah, where did this go? I thought I had a trail here. But so make it at least 18 inches wide. 24 would even be better if you got the room. And the first thing you want to do is dig out all the weeds, all the grass, all the roots that might be in there, and smooth out all the bumps and the lumps, et cetera, that could cause a person to trip.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, gosh.
And, you know, and after removing the vegetation and smoothing it up with, you know, you smooth up the rough ground and then maybe add some sand or some topsoil, say an inch or two, and smooth that out so it's a good walkable, doable thing.
Sure.
And you can compact it at the same time,
mm-hmm.
Just by walking on it, or you could rent a tool. It's like a big flat steel plate with a handle on it, and you just whack it, and it compacts. It, mm-hmm. It's hard as a rock. But you got to smooth it out first, and then after you've compacted it, you know, you lightly rake it again, so it's very lightly, like with a fan rake, so that if there's any dips or anything in there, it's just kind of smooth. The new soil smooths it out. And then if you can add gravel to it, you get some like half inch gravel. And you can add that to it, or maybe you want to put stepping stones in there.
Oh, are you going to get fancy?
Yeah, you can. I mean, you can have the basic trail, or you can have something, you know, like I say, with gravel or stepping stones or flagstone, and make it, you know, very decorative. But if it's too steep, I don't recommend the flagstone and things like that. My son-in-law bought a house here up on below Terrace. It's on one of the hills. And the former owners, it's an older home, and the former owners had their entryway, and the lot is very steep.
Mm.
And then they had this little side trail going down to the stairs, and they had these big, big flat rocks mm-hmm. in there. And in looking at it, it looks safe, but I walked down it just to see, and some of those were very loose and, you know, tippy. And there you are in the middle of this trail, and
it's dipping.
So any of the, if you use a rock or flagstone or anything like that, go to Willamette Graystone mm-hmm. or the co-op out there in Wilbur, and they've got all kinds of stuff you can choose from. It's decorative, it's usually a good inch thick, and so that when you place them into the soft soil, it's going to stay, exactly. And then when you place them, you can add a little bit more soil so there's no edges that you might trip over, and it's good to go. It'll last forever.
Safety first.
Yeah. And
especially at our age.
Yeah, you're a lot older than me, though.
That's right.
Yeah, well, you're about 103 now.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm only 101, so there.
Yeah, I'm catching up with the president.
Oh, yeah. All right, enough of that. Oh, gosh. But just remember, this trails need to be walkable, not steep. I mean, if you're a goat, that's a different deal. I mean, but need to be walkable. You want to be able to maybe just stroll around and look at your plants real closely, or you make access to this hillside, and so that you can plant more things here and there. And you're good to go. And it's like I say, you get all the junk out of there, get down to bare soil, and you're going to have a nice smooth, like wide. Don't make it too narrow, because you never know if you're going to do a misstep.
Mm-hmm.
And adding gravel, you can add decorative gravel or just plain old half-inch crushed rock, and it has fines in it, and which is just really fine rock, and it'll compact. So it's not something that's going to slide if you're walking up it. There's no give to it.
Yeah.
It's compacted.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
in place. And on the upper side of the trail is, if you're on this hillside kind of situation, you're going to have a small cut bank. And you might want to put some larger rocks against the cut banks to prevent any any material flowing down onto the trail,
mm-hmm.
you know, in rain or anything like that. And that's going to help a great deal. And you're not going to have to repair your trail every year. But it adds a whole new dimension to your landscape. And you don't have to have a slope to do it. You can do it on flat ground as well. It's just on a slope, it's more usable.
Sure.
And on flat ground is probably more decorative. They're both decorative, but if you have I've made trails through people's yards that wanted mounds of plants, and you have a trail system going around the mounds, and so they have good access to them if they have to do any work on them. And you know, a mound, like it could be 10 feet long, 6 feet wide, and 3 feet tall in the center with sloping. Mm-hmm. And then they put a tree in the middle of it and then some shrubs around the around the edges.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but they have access because they have a gravel path to get there
mm-hmm.
rather than just walking on bark
mud.
Bark mulch or mud. Yeah, exactly. So
we always trip through the mud.
Yeah. Well, back in olden days, we did too. Then the other thing is retaining walls. Retaining walls are a little trickier and are a little more work, especially if you're doing it yourself. But step one, for instance, is to cut the toe of the slope. It depends on the steepness of the slope. I mean, I wouldn't go with something that's almost straight up and down and try to put a retaining wall there, because it may not work. But it could work, but it may not. So, but if it's a 20% slope or maybe 30% slope where you would put a retaining wall to stop any further soil erosion excuse me, down into your yard. A nice retaining wall, you can do it with decorative rock, you can do it with big boulders, you can do it with block, and like I say, Willamette Graystone and a few other places or the co-op have all that kind of material, and you can go and look at them and see, you know, what appeals to you, because some of them they're not just all gray. I mean, gray is your
basic
color, but they have some that are in different colors and different shades, and there are some smaller blocks and I don't know, I guess you'd call them blocks. They're bigger than a brick, but smaller.
That's
than
a block.
Than smaller than a building block, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest building blocks simply because there's more strength there, and you can fill, once you put them in and are hollow, you can fill that part with gravel and compact.
Kind of like a Lego.
Right, and it's strong. Yeah. It's going to stay there. You know, you got to get it compact. You got to get it level. So when you put your base down, your block wall is not, you know, going up and down.
Mm-hmm. Like the China wall.
Right. Like this one is 2 inches higher than that one.
Yeah.
And, you know, no. You want to get it dead level, and you want to make sure you maintain that level. Let's say your wall is 5 blocks high. Well, you want to do spot checks with the level every once in a while to make sure you're mm-hmm. on grade. And because if you don't, and it's kind of, you know, up and downish a little bit, you stand back and look at it and go, yeah, that's not a very.
There's something wrong with that, Martha. Something wrong with that,
wall, man. Let's take it down. Don't take it down. Boy.
Somebody was stoned when they were making that one.
Yeah, they got stoned, I'll tell you.
We got to do, well, maybe we better do a break on that
okay,
note.
Okay, let's do a break.
What's our phone number, Mike?
673-4464. Any questions, fair game.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Mama Mia, Mike, can you believe it? It's our last segment already for this week.
Well, that's too bad, because I've got 3 more pages of notes. I don't know what to do.
Oh, wow. But anything about sheep?
No, nothing about sheep today. We're talking retaining walls, and as you begin to build, after you've gotten your first layer of block or even your second layer of block, it's always good to put some perf pipe behind it so that any excess water that comes off your slope will have a place to go and drain out, and make sure you drain it away from your foundation and, you know, out to the edges of your yard or your property so that it doesn't accumulate behind the wall and then the wall gets super, the mud gets super saturated and pushes the wall over. You know, that's not a good sign.
Definitely defeating your purpose.
Yes, yes. And, but if you, you know, and I think behind my house we put up a, oh, I think it's about almost 4 feet. It's probably 3.5 foot a wall. But we, not only did we put the perf pipe in the back of it, of the wall, the whole length, but we also filled it with drain rock. For about 2 feet above the perf pipe, so that any soil that might come down will get hung up in the drain rock rather than in the perf pipe. It's kind of a double straining kind of thing. So, and it's worked for 30 years. So
must have did something right.
And it's a mountain that I'm holding back.
It's a real mountain.
But it, and then we put decorative flat block on top of that. Like the 2-inch thick stuff that's about a foot long and about 8 inches wide, and I capped it with all that, and that's where I have my bonsai collection sitting on that wall.
There you go.
So I can look out my dining room window, and there's the I can tell whether the plants need water or whatever, and that's just another way of decorating. See, I live in the boondocks, and my landscaping is not what I did professionally. Mine is more.
For your own
farmer,
yeah,
farmer John landscaping, some roadies here, and you know, some Japanese maples, and then a bonsai collection,
maybe daffodils there.
Yeah, my wife planted those daffodils, they spread like wildfire. But put the pipe behind, make sure you get some drainage, and you want the whole thing to stay in place. It's very, very important step to all that.
I hear kids in London like to eat daffodils.
Oh, I don't know. They're crazy. And if the wall is like too high, for instance, and you don't think you can you can do it, you may want to get a professional to give you advice on the structure, either as a consultation or actually do the job for you. And as far as the block material goes, I suggest, like I said earlier, go to Willamette Greystone or the co-op. And they've got advice. They'll give you a lot of advice. I think they have, I know Willamette Greystone has brochures with pictures on it on how to build these walls. And they have many different block sizes and styles and colors,
too. Oh, cool.
Some of them are tan. Some of them are gray. And the tan ones look really, really good. And they're pretty hefty block. I mean, they're a building block. They're not just some little small
decorative.
Yeah.
Thing. No.
But nice. they will really look good. And you want to, you know, small walls are easy to build and they're safe for the most part. But any wall that's like 4 feet or taller needs some professional advice. You need, or if you're experienced in doing it and you're okay with it, it works. And you can construct retaining walls with wood if you like, but the lifespan's short compared to like block or concrete wall.
Mm-hmm.
And a block wall is going to be a lot less expensive than a pure concrete wall. I mean, because especially if you do some of the work yourself. But a concrete wall, you got to form it, you got to do all this, and then get the concrete there, and that's
a lot of labor.
That very spendy operation that way. But you can work on your own as you a little bit here, a little bit there, and you can get her done in a week or two. But and you can create, a planting bed behind the wall, which I have done. And dress it up with ground covers or perennials or small plants that'll kind of cascade over the wall. It looks good. And the root systems of the plants will add strength to the wall.
Mm.
It'll add strength to the ground so that any earth above it that has a tendency to slip or slide ain't going to do as much. You know, that's something you
stay in place.
Yeah, right there. and retaining walls and pathways, you know, they all add an interesting dimension to your landscape. It's just, wow, that's, you know, really classy looking. And we've done for clients for all those years that we were in, that I was in business. It just changes the whole complexion of the yard.
I bet it does.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it just—it's another dimension, and you can have one lawns in front of it on flat ground, and then all your plant materials up on the slope behind it, or you know, just you could have trees, shrubs. It doesn't matter, mm-hmm. you know, provided you've got the room to do that. And now, if you have just a flat yard, you can build raised planters out of block. To enhance the look of it, and with the block planters, just you're on the level ground, so
right.
you just build that planter. You don't need to no concrete is involved. These are blocks. Like I say, they have a lip on one side, and they hook into the block below it, so that it as you work it
it's all hooked
together.
Right,
yeah,
right.
It's all hooked together. And I've done that for a few jobs over the years, where one guy had a big flat backyard, and he was in a swampy area, and nothing was growing. He had lawn back there initially. And yeah. we took out all the lawn. We put gravel down, maybe 4 inches of 3/4 minus gravel. Then we built the walls on top of that. We built 5 walls for him, 5 planters out of block, mm-hmm. and different shapes, you know, and different sizes, and just kind of placed them around. And they were all about 3.5 feet deep. And so when we added plants to it, it was beautiful. It was a whole new ball game from a flat, ugly yard to something that had some dimension and some pizzazz to it, and it's still there today and looking good.
Is it?
We out of time?
We are.
Thank you for listening. Hope you learned something.
And you have no idea what we're going to talk about next week, do you?
No, I never have any idea until about 5 minutes before I walk in here.
Well, see you next time.
Okay, thank you.
Stick around. The Afternoon Report is coming up with Douglas County's news team on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.